all at the church say, yeah. Can I get a witness? To what his plans are, to what his word says, God is spoken, let the church. From the healing of your body to the raising of the dead, no matter how you feel it or how your world is reeling, battle on through the night, cause you're gonna win the fight, even in the valley or standing at your Red Sea.
Morning, best family and friends and the neighbors. We are just blessed this morning, and we just wanted to let you know, amen, as we enter in this morning, that the God that we serve, he's an able God, and we are so glad that he's been good to us all week long and allowed us another day's journey. Another day that wasn't promised to us. God is certainly in the blessing business. And we just wanted to share that song this morning for America, for the United States, upon the we're having a new president, President Biden and Vice President Harris. And we just want to continue to see what God will do with our country. So we thank God for all of you that are chiming in, and we're ready to get into our worship time for this morning. We are now going to let Sister Cheryl. Cheryl's going to come, and she's going to give us a prayer for this morning. Yeah, hold on just a second. And whenever she shows up, I can bring her in, but she hasn't showed up yet. Give me just a second. Thank y'all all for chiming in. We did see Sister Bub and Dana and Sister Linda and Deb. And some others. All right, they're working on it.
Amen. Good morning, church. As we prepare to pray this morning, I was just thinking this morning about I was pulling away from the noise. And so let's prepare as we pray this morning just to pull away from the noise of elections and pandemics and pressures of life. Let's just pull away and be with our Father today. Let's let this 1 hour be an hour of just a sacred time that we hear from Him and are encouraged by His word on today. God, how we thank you this morning. God, we're grateful. We just pause to say hallelujah to your name this morning. You are a good God, and you're awful worthy to be praised. We thank you, God, that you're God all by yourself. And we're thankful, Father God, that you, as we declare out loud to the world this morning, that you're still the best thing that's ever happened to us. And we praise you this morning. We're grateful. We love you this morning, God. We just glorify your name. You are a God who still gives peace, and you're a God who's still our comfort. You're a God who's still loves us more than life itself. We thank you, God, that you are for us and that you are more than this whole world against us. We praise you for being a mighty God. Thank you, God, that no arms are too mighty to fight with you, God. Whatever you declare, God, it is so. And so we thank you this morning, God, that nothing, Father God, goes on without you knowing about it, God, and you have all power and you're yet in control. So we thank you on this day, God, and we say out loud to the world, God, that you're still on the throne, and God, there is no God bigger than you, and there's no equal to you, oh God, on this morning, and we praise you for that. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers our lives, that protects us, that keeps us. Thank you, God, that we're in our right minds this morning. We thank you of all the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. I remember reading in your word this week, it says, what shall we render unto God for all of his benefits toward us? And God, we render praise this morning. We render a life, God, that's pleasing unto you on this morning. Bless our time together in a great way. Speak to us through your word on today. We pray, God, you will silence all the noise that's all around us, and that you bring peace in the middle of all the storms. And God, we know on this week we hear there's going to be lawsuits and all types of things going on. We pray, God, that grace would abound, God. We pray that you would still rule and reign, even in this week, of whatever evil or things that are going on that are not pleasing to you. We pray you would silence, God, the enemy, in the name of Jesus. Bless all the Bethsaida family, God, on this call, friends of ours that are standing in the need of you on today. Only you can really touch us where we need a touch. Only you can really make ways and open doors. So we trust you on today. Every family of the Bethsaida family, even those who are connected to us, we declare today that they will win. We thank you that victory is ours. In Jesus' name, we glorify you and we praise you. Amen and amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord today. Okay. All right. We was having a little issue there, but I think we got it. All right. Praise the Lord. Now let's get into our word for the day. It's found in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 7. We're going to begin at verse 4 and read the verse 4 through verse 17. Now, these are not all the verses of the text. We certainly encourage you and to read the end chapter 7 in its entirety. This may be a two-part sermon. We're not sure. It just depends on how our time goes as we look into the word. We'll go as far as God allows to go today, and then it may be some left that we can pick up on next week, or we may finish it today. It just depends on how the Spirit leads and guides us. It's a text we have a lot of things to teach, so just stay with us for a few moments. All right, 2 Samuel, that's Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 7. Beginning at verse 4. It reads, "But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt, even to this day, but have moved about in a tent and in a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about with all the children of Israel, have I ever spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now, therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a great name, like the name of the great man before you." "And have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all the enemies from before you, and have made you a great name, like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in the place of their own and move no more, nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them anymore as previously, since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused you to rest from all your enemies. Also, the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of man and with the blows of the sons of man. But mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul. Be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever, according to all these words and according to all this vision. So Nathan spoke to David." Amen. We want to talk about this morning, God is just getting started. God is just getting started. Text that we are examining and exploring and expositing this morning is one of the most important texts of the Old Testament, because in it is what has become is now called the Davidic Covenant. the covenant that God made with David, which is a very important covenant, especially as it pertains to his son, whom we will see is Christ himself, who will sit on his throne forever. God is just getting started. Listen out now. In this text, not only do I want you to read verse chapter 7, but also go back and read through chapter 6. I say this kind of every week, lots of weeks, maybe not every week, but most of the weeks we share. So important to look at the context. In interpreting scripture, context is king. Amen. It helps you to get the right interpretation. So sometimes you may have to read a chapter before, or a chapter after, or even more than that to get the right feeling on this. Now, if you look back in chapter 6, chapter 6 has to do with the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, that thing that had the mercy seat upon it, that was in the tabernacle, in the holiest of all places, in the Holy of Holies, that part of the tabernacle that only the priest was allowed to go through, go into once a year. In the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant was there. Somehow in a battle, it had been lost to the Philistines, but in chapter 6, the Ark of the Covenant is brought to Jerusalem. Their first attempt to bring it, they did not follow God's plan like it should have been followed, and it caused problems and death because of their lack of doing it God's way. At the end of chapter 6, David goes and looks at the scripture and decides to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And we see him finally that it happened as he followed God's instructions. God had a certain way he wanted the Ark of the Covenant to be carried because that was a representative of his presence. Amen. Matter of fact, as after the first mishap, they left it over a guy named Obed-Edom's house. And the Ark of the Covenant brought blessings to him. And he said it blessed Obed-Edom and blessed his everything that was associated with him, because he was representative of the presence and the power of God. It was God's strong, like, and David brings it into Jerusalem, and David is so happy because of all the victories he got, and finally God they got the Ark of the Covenant back, and all their enemies have been subdued, and it's relative peace at this time. They've conquered, and there's a calm, and David is so blessed by what God is doing. As he contemplates what God is doing, he just, at the end of chapter 6, he just breaks out in dancing and in worship. He worships so hard, amen, and he was so physically involved in worship, amen, that he allowed some of the clothing that the royalty usually wore that represented, he just let that fall off and went on and danced for the Lord and praised God, because he was so happy and so blessed and so thankful to what God had done for him. He just longed, and he wasn't worried about being dignified and sophisticated, and he just went forward full, and David just danced before the Lord with all his might. That's how blessed David felt he was after all the many ways that God had blessed him. Now, something interesting happened while David was doing all that dancing and praising and just enjoying the Lord. Michael, Saul's daughter, who was one of his wives, looked out the window and saw David, and she said, you know, like sometimes people say, it don't take all that. So when David got home, She said, David, you act so undignified and that's not the way a king ought to carry himself. You ought to have more dignity than just let yourself go like that. And David said, hey, when you look at all God done for me, David was kind of like that boy who they wouldn't let sing in the choir. And he got too loud at church, so he started staying at home. I think he got too loud, so he started staying at home. And then Deacon went out there and told me, hey, we don't need you doing all that shouting and stuff in church. You need to be quiet. But the man, he looked over at all the Lord and blessed the land and the cattle and everything he blessed him with. And even when they were trying to tell him he needed to stop all that stuff coming to him, he told the man to hold his mule and he went on shouting. That's the kind of attitude David, because David realized how good God had been to him. But Michael couldn't quite understand that. And because of her attitude, God said she would not be fruitful. And from that day forward, she would not have children. What was wrong with Michael? Most spiritual women, amen, most spiritual women that I know this day would have been so happy to have a man that would praise and worship. Not only was he a warrior, but he was a worshiper. When you get a warrior and a worshiper, you got something on your hand. How could she not enjoy the fact of being encouraged by having a husband that was both a warrior and a worshiper, who will go all out in worshiping God? That's what most spiritual women were looking for. But, you know, anyway, that's what happened. So as we enter in the first chapter, in the first verse of chapter 7, David had been blessed and he's at home. And he done built him a nice house made of cedar. You know, that's like the top thing back then. When you had a cedar house, you had something. So he had out of the best cedars, one of the neighboring kings that had these great cedar trees, and he had allowed that wood to become to be sent to David and his house to be built. And David was sitting back and enjoying his house, and he thought as he was sitting there, all his enemies had been subdued. There was calm and peace at this point. And as he was looking at how God had blessed him to be at peace and subdue all his enemies and enjoy all that God had done for him, he thought about, you know, I got all this house for me, but God, the Ark of the Covenant, we don't have a house for the Ark of the Covenant. And I see all these other, when I look at all the my neighboring, those that are worshiping idol gods, they have these great temples. But our God, who is the true and living God, he doesn't have a temple. So I'm going to, what I need to do is to build our God a temple, a place for this holy, a great temple, and to get rid of the tend to kind of old and worn out. And if all the other gods got temples, I want my God to have them. I want to do something for my God. My God been so good to me, I want to do something for him. But listen, so he goes and asks Nathan being the prophet, you ought to always have, and let me just put this in. I'm going to put this in for free today. You know, most of the time, those of you who have those great entertainment systems, many of you have that surround sound, where you can hear all the various notes and the basses and treble mixed together and have the right sound, almost like you're right there in the theater if you're looking at a game or whatever you're looking at. It's like you're right in the concert hall. You got that kind of surround sound. What I want to tell you, and if your surround sound is kind of cheap, maybe messed up, or you don't have it, sometimes you don't get to hear it like you need to hear it. But I want to try to tell you, every believer, are you listening to me? Every believer needs the right surround sound. I'm not talking about the kind that you work by at Best Buy or whatever your electronic store is, but I'm talking about you need the people around you to sound out God's voice. it's important that every believer have the right surround sound in your life. You ought to be surrounded by the right voices speaking the word of God into your life. Sometimes the reason why we stumble or fall, because we don't have the right kind of surround sound. Be sure in your life that you have the right surround sound, the right people speaking into your life, surrounding you, protecting you, encouraging you, praying for you, having your best interest on their heart. Be sure you got people that are growing in Christ, living close with God, walking with God. Make them your surround sound. In that idea, David goes to Nathan and say, Nathan, you know, I want to build a house of God. And Nathan knows, I think it's in Deuteronomy 12, where God does say he's going to plant them and in a place and have a place of his own one day. And maybe Nathan is thinking about that. And when David asked him about building this house for God, and Nathan said, oh, well, that sounds pretty good to me. Go do all in your heart, for the Lord is with you. Now, Nathan was a prophet, but he really giving his own advice at that particular point. Amen. Sometimes, amen, when even because of what your gifting is and how close you is to God, you got to be careful. Be sure to always consult God or stay close enough to God that what you're saying, if somebody has trusted you enough to involve you in their surround sound, in that group that speaks into their life, be sure you're close enough to God and prayerful and into the word of God so that you can give them what God said. Now, it was, Nathan said, yeah, that's a good idea. But, verse 4, it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, and said, the Nathan said to the king, verse 4, okay. But it happened at that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying, look at verse 5, go and tell my servant David, thus said the Lord. Y'all see that part? Don't miss that, thus said the Lord. Now, what you told him yesterday, what you told him earlier today, wasn't thus said the Lord. What you told me earlier was kind of a Nathan thing. But because you represent me, I want you to correct it before it go too far. So even sometimes, even if you're a leader or a Bible teacher, sometimes we all make mistakes, but don't be so proud that you can't go back and correct what's not in accordance with God's word. So go tell David that, listen here, he wants to build me a house. But now ask him, I have not dwelt in a house since the time that brought the children of Israel up from Egypt, even to this day. In other words, I haven't had a house. I've been just in the tent, in the tabernacle, as they moved it from place to place, all the way up to now. Amen. I haven't had a house. I've never asked for a house. I've never asked for a place. I've never asked any of the leaders of the tribes for a house. In other words, tell David he needs to wait for my marching orders, not to go before me. A lot of times we go before God rather than waiting on God. Some of the worst mistakes we make and the biggest failures come from going before God, and then we found out, I shouldn't have did that. So don't go before God. You need to follow God's advice. Now, David was good at it, and I think even when he went to Nathan, that's what he was trying to do. But now look Hope you got your Bibles. I hope you got your Bibles. But if not, I'm going to read a couple of things in chapter 5 because I want you to get this. I want you to get this kind of down pat. In chapter 5, verse 19, David does it the right way. In chapter 5, verse 19, he says, there it says, so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? David asked the Lord. I said, Lord, okay, you go. I need to know before I go what you got to say about it. And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. Always inquire of the Lord in prayer and investigating his word and the counsel of godly people before you make decisions. Then again, look at verse 23. David was doing it right, but back in these verses, and he should have did the same thing he said, which I think he was trying to do, but he was trying to get the word through Nathan, and Nathan just gave advice before he went to God. Verse 23. Chapter 5, therefore David inquired of the Lord and said, you shall not go up, circle around behind them, and come upon them in front, in the top of the mulberry trees. Then you shall advance quickly. For then the Lord will go out before you and strike the camp of the Philistine. So in both of those instances, in chapter 5, he inquired of the Lord first. He asked God. God gave him specific instructions on how to be successful and to have victory over the enemy. But inquire first. So, but on his house, he had it kind of in his heart. But now, and what God may have also been saying here, he basically says, David, because you got to compare this to also the same, the things that are some, most of the things that are in 2 Samuel are also in 1 Chronicles. There is a parallel passage. When you study the Bible, you can also find parallel passages. There is a parallel passage with this same incident recorded in 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Amen. Same information. But in that, it gives us a bit more because we found out that Solomon's going to build the temple. And then if you also go over to 1 Chronicles 22, it says to us, 22:8, it says the reason, one of the reasons why God did not allow David to build the temple was because he was a man of war and had shed much blood. But I'm also thinking is that it was like David wanted to do something he feel like that God needed. God always wants to be the initiator. God really doesn't need anything from us. God is self-sustained. One song said, the reason why God was created, our poem, the reason why we were created was because God was lonely. God ain't never been lonely. God is self-sustained. He's never needed us for anything. There is a doctrine, a theological doctrine called the aseity of God. And that says, because sometimes children will ask, when you're kind of explaining that everything had to be created, they may go back and say, well, who created God? Well, in the doctrine of the aseity of God, it says nobody created God because God has always been. He's self-existent. He's God. He doesn't need any creator. He's infinite. He's always been, and he always will be. He did not need a creator because he's always been. He is God. That's why he was able to say, I am. Because I am, he said, he said, I am, because he's always out of time. He's an eternal God. He doesn't need us. He didn't create us because he needed us to praise him. He didn't create us for any of those things, but he created us because he wanted us to enjoy glorifying him. He wanted us to enjoy praising him. He wanted us to enjoy glorifying him. It's for our enjoyment. He's never needed us, but we always needed him. We need him. It's in glorifying him that we find our purpose and our greatest joy. He doesn't need, David, I don't really need you to build me a house because I've never asked for a house. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do for you, David. I know you think you've been blessed. I saw you the other day when you just were praising me and you danced yourself out most of your clothes because you know I had been good to you. But David, Nathan, what I want you to tell David when you go back, tell him I was, this is basically what I'm trying to just summarize what Nathan's going to tell David. Tell David that I'm just getting started. Woo! That might speak to somebody's life. You think God's been good to you, but I'm trying to tell you God may be saying to you, wait a minute. I know you think I've been good, but I'm just getting started. David, you want to build me a house. And when David wanted to build the house that David wanted to build for God was a temple. But said, David, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. Rather than let you build me a house, I'm going to build you a house. The house David was talking about was a temple. And you know, the Jewish temple got destroyed 2 times. Those houses didn't last. But God said, the house that I'm going to build for you, David, is not a temple. It's a household. I'm going to, because sometimes when the Old Testament uses house, it means a family. I'm telling you what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to put your family, and I'm going to make a lot of kings. There are going to be kings in your family. And a matter of fact, there will be a king on the throne forever that comes from your family. Ain't that a blessing? Oh, my God. Do you realize maybe the reason why some of the blessings that we enjoy today is because some of our forefathers, some of our granddad, grandma, mama, daddy, auntie, somebody years ago, or maybe hundreds of years ago, was praying for us. God, amen, is answering their prayers today. What I want to encourage you to do, parents and grandparents and brothers and sisters in Christ, don't just pray for now, but pray to have impact 100, if the Lord delays coming, 200 years. Pray to have impact on multiple generations that follow you. You got a child? If that child 4 or 5, you can start praying now. Praying for them to go to college. Praying for them to get wisdom. Praying for God to put the right friends around them. Praying for God to provide for them. Praying for them, most of all, to be great followers of Christ and have great spiritual lives and look to God and be people of faith. You need to pray because our world is become less and less followers of Christ. So you need to begin to pray for that child, that son, that daughter. You need to begin to pray for them now that God will be with them and just bless their life amazingly. Because the reason why some of us are blessed today, because somebody prayed for us. Somebody had us on their mind. Somebody prayed. That's why we think we got the job that we got, or we got the relationship with Christ that we got, because it was only about us. But somebody prayed for us, and God, we are living, walking, breathing examples of prayer. David, I'm gonna build you a house. This house you're trying to temple. I see, I know what you're saying, and it's gonna be a couple of them built, but they ain't gonna last long. But I'm going to put one of your sons, somebody in your family, somebody, a kin person that's kin to you, that's in your line of ancestors, but your legacy that will come after you. You will have somebody who will sit on the throne forever. Oh, that's a blessing. See, you know, we don't pray about that enough on faith. Like, you know, we pray about a car and job, which we need all those things. I'm saying, not saying don't pray about them. You need to pray about those things too, because all those things are important to your well-being now. But don't leave out praying for your offspring in the future, praying for sons, daughters, granddaughters, blessing them. If they get married, you don't know if they don't get married or not, but say, Lord, if they do get married, send them the right kind of person. Start praying for them now. Don't wait too late. Pray for their friends now. Lord, if you got pray, you put them godly friends. If you get somebody there that's the right, that provides them with the wrong kind of surround sound, move them out. Cut that speaker off. Don't let them listen to that particular speaker. Just let them go on other speakers. Move them out of their circle. Start praying now, because we want to have not just impact today, but we want to have impact for the future. David, God said, David, you thought I was finished, because you got your, you know, you done subdued your enemies, and you got your cedar house here, and you kind of laid back, and now you're talking about you can be a blessing to me. God, I don't mind you blessing me, but just stay behind me. You can bless me by being obedient to what I tell you. But now, don't think I need anything. If I would have needed a house, I'd have already asked you for it. But I don't need nothing. But I'm telling you, I know what you need. So I'm going to bless you with what you need. I'm going to bless generations after you. That's what I want. I want God not only to bless, I want him to bless generations after me. I want there to be people blessed that come out of my lineage. That's blessed by something that was passed down that I said, or that Cheryl said, or amen, to my mama, Cheryl moms. We want to pass those things down. We want to pass down an example. Parents, you're passing down either a good example or a bad example that's going to influence and impact multiple generations. It's not your decisions are not all about you. So you got to work hard in making the right decisions and say, God, help me to make the right decision. Give me that kind of wisdom. But not only help me to make the right decision, but help me to walk right and set the right example for those that are coming along after me. I'm not perfect. I'll stumble sometimes. But Lord, just make my life, let me have more good example than my stumble. So that when they characterize my life, they'll say, hey, he wasn't perfect or she wasn't perfect. But when I look at the whole of their life, I can see love, God's love, and them loving God and walking after God and how much God meant to them. God is just getting started. Oh, David, I'm going to bless your sons, and many of them are going to be on the throne. All those Judah, kings of Judah, many of them were descendants of David. David's descendants. Why Judah lasted long in Israel after the division. And then after the kings, after they were conquered, first Israel in the north, and then Judah in the south, there were no more kings. And God had already said that. It's already here. Let me get that verse for you and what we were just reading. Because God had already said he was going. That was no surprise when there were no kings. There was no surprise when they were taken into captivity. God had already said that. Look at verse 10. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them that they may dwell in the place for their own and move no more. Now shall any son of the wicked oppress them anymore as previously, since the time I commanded you, commanded the judges to be over my people Israel, and I've caused them to rest from the enemies. Let me see the one I'm looking for. All right, verse 14, I will be his father, he shall be my son, if he commit iniquity. Y'all see that? In other words, now I'm going to bless. He's talking about the sons. He's talking about sons as being like royal sons. He's talking about the kings. It will probably take me a little bit longer to explain that than I want to spend it today. But when he says sons, he's talking about those kings, because God is a king. And when you are like God in your rulership, so he's talking about those kings that he was set up on the throne. He said, now, if they commit iniquity, I will chasten them with the rod of man. I will allow other people, other enemies, I will allow their enemies to defeat them when they commit iniquity. And with the blows of the sons of man. So, hey, long as they're obedient, I'm going to be there for them. But now if they mess up, I'm going to chasten them by using their enemies to chasten them. But even then, in verse 15, but my mercy, even when they get chastened, even when the enemy wins, I'm going to have mercy on them. I'm not going to do like I did Saul. I didn't really have much mercy on Saul. When I took Saul off the throne, no more of his people would be on the throne. His family died out. David, since I'm making a promise to you, you're going to have somebody on the throne, and somebody's going to be there. One of your descendants is going to be on the throne throughout eternity. I'm not going to do you like that. I'm going to have mercy. But now I'm going to tell you now, there's going to be some time if they mess up. Some of the other countries and places, the enemy's going to be able to overtake them. And my mercy shall not, in 16, it said, your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever according to all these words and according to the vision Nathan spoke. So God promised David something. He promised David, hey, I'm going to build you a house. Not the cedar house, not the cedar crib that you got now. That's not what I'm talking about. Not no temple, but I'm going to build your family. And you're going to have a family member years down the line that's going to be a blessing and going to sit on the throne forever. Oh, my goodness. God is a good God. Now, it's okay. Now, who is this one he's talking about that's going to sit on the throne forever? And then you look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. They were taken to exile, there was no more kings. There was no more king of Israel or Judah. But Isaiah 9 and 6 says, and it's telling us who this child is going to sit on the throne forever. Say, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. Wait a minute. He's going to be a mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of who? The throne of David and over his kingdom. To audit and establish it with justice, judgment and justice for that time forward, even forevermore. 9 and 6, Isaiah 9 and 6, we talked about Christ coming, says that will be the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant that we're talking about today in 2 Samuel 7. Oh, Lord. God said, when God promised you something, you can depend on it. And I like David. Because in Orlando, I think I may be able to finish. I ain't got too long, but I think I'm going to be able to finish this thing. I like David because in verses 18 through the end of the chapter, after we see God's message to David through Nathan, now we'll see David's message back to God. Look at what David said. Then King David went out and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O Lord? And what is my house that you brought me this for? And yet, this is a small thing in your sight. God, you done told me you just getting started. You still got some more blessings coming. You still going to bless me more than you already blessed me. Oh, God. And then he said, you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. You going to bless my family for a time to come. Then verse 20. Now, what more can David say to you? For you, Lord God, know your servant. For your word's sake and according to your own heart, you have done all these great things to make your servant know them. Therefore, you are great, O Lord God. For there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people, like Israel, the one nation on the earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people and to make himself a name? David, you don't have to make me great, by trying to get me a temple like all the other gods. I don't need man to make me great. I make man great. I made Israel great. I'm going to make you great. That's how this thing works. I don't need great. I don't need you to have grace for me, but you need my grace. I'm self-sufficient. I'm great all by myself. I was great before everybody got here, before the world was created. I've already been great, but I want you to give, amen, and you're giving me glory. You experience the greatest joy of your life. David, I'm going to do something for you. I'm just getting started. I'm going to bless you some. You don't even understand it, David. And David said, hey, David is praying to accept everything that God said he was going to do. Verse 22, therefore you are great, O God, for there is none like you, nor is there any God beside you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation of earth, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, to make himself a name, and to do for yourself great and awesome deeds for your land before your people, whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt, the nations and their God. For you have made your people Israel your very own people forever, and you, Lord, have become their God. Now, Lord, the word, this is 25. Now, Lord, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant, concerning his house, establish it forever and do as you have said. That's what we need to do, brothers and sisters. What God had promised us in the scriptures, amen. You need to go ahead and pray with the scriptures, what he's already promised you. Because God got some more stuff. God is not finished with you. God is just getting started. You ain't no telling how far he's going to take you, how he's going to bless your descendants on down the line, what he's going to do for your grandkids and great-grandkids, maybe some that you'll already be gone before they come. God don't need you here to bless what's coming after you. You hear that? God does not need you here to bless what's coming after you. He can bless it even though you're not here. Oh, how great is our God. 26. So let your name be magnified forever, saying the Lord of hosts is God of Israel. And let the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have revealed this to yourself. You done sent Nathan to tell me, I will build you a house. And I just want to magnify you for the God that you are. Therefore, your servant had found it in his heart to pray this prayer to you. I just want to pray this praise to you because of all you already, I don't see it coming true yet, but I'm not going to wait till it come true, because I know your word and I know the kind of God you are. If you said it, it's going to come up. I'm going to go ahead and praise you for it now. 28, and now, O Lord, you are God, your words are true, and you have promised this goodness to your servant. Now, therefore, let it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. For you, O Lord, have spoken it, and with your blessing let the house of your servant be blessed forever. Isn't that what we all want as followers of Christ? We want our house, our descendants, our families, and even though we disciple and their families and our church families, we want God's blessing to be upon them. So live in a way, pray in a way that your impact does not leave the earth when you leave the earth, but your impact is eternal. And it'll keep being passed on from generation to generation because of what you've done when you were here on earth. Oh, God is good. God is good. God is just getting started. Oh, yes, you're blessed. We're all blessed to be his followers. But I just wanted to tell you, God is just getting started with you. Look around. I say, Lord, I just thank you just letting me have an opportunity, because I know I'm help me to live a life that it can impact generations after me. Help me to be kind of disciple maker that I can impact not only the one that I disciple, but the one that they disciple, and then the one that they disciple, and then the one that they disciple. Let me have that kind of impact. I can only do that if you are on my side. Help me to have impact on my friends, that my friends can have impact on their friends, and their friends can have. Let my impact grow for generations. I know you can do that. He promised it. He had the power to bring it about. Amen. I mean, we will have a song now coming. Hopefully, Gabby gonna bring us on. I want you to consider that if you're here this listening to the podcast this morning, and you have never accepted Christ or your Savior, you haven't become a follower of Christ, pray that you would give us a call and we'll help you. Phone number 903-915-0865. We'll say more about that later. But just consider that at the song as being played. Just listen to the song and know that God is not through blessing you.
Yeah.
Amen. God is not through blessing you. Ain't God a good God? All America needs to hear that. God is not through blessing you. All right, we got a few announcements and we're going to let you go. Let's remember the Warren Hawkins Food Drive. I think you out. You got messages by there on the app and on the website, and also I think it was texted out. Cheryl texted it out, so let's not forget about that. We're not doing bringing canned goods. We're just taking cash because that's what they ask us to do this year. Every dollar that you give will bring buys 2.5 pounds of food. $10, 25 pounds, $20, 50 pounds, and so on. So do what you can do, those of you that can. And we'll make up the difference. Our goal is 1,250 pounds. Just do what you can do on that. Also, woman's meeting. Cheryl's woman now is a woman's meeting. Coffee and chat. That's November the 14th, Saturday at 9:30 a.m. And you need a Zoom link, or you can call in if you don't do Zoom. And get in on the woman's meeting, coffee and chat, November 14th. I think this next Saturday at 9:30 a.m. You get the Zoom link, or you can call in on the call in line. If you need more information about that, just call Cheryl's number, or you can call the church cell. My church cell at 903-915-0865. Same thing for you out there in the listening audience, and you want more information on how to become a follower of Christ, call that same number, 903-915-0865. That's also on our website. Again, we want to congratulate, certainly congratulate me in prayer for our president and vice president-elect, President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Harris. So let's be in prayer for our nation. Prayer for our nation. And we want to pray even for our present president in making the transition. Just let it be a peaceful transition. And so let's just be in prayer that God can do what God can do. He's a powerful God. And we'll come out a greater nation than we were before. Keep praying. Pray for one another. Thank you for joining in today and joining us on this podcast. And go back and, like I said, and be sure to read those texts. Some of them went through kind of quick today, so I can complete it. I think I gave you enough of the information. Like I said, look at the chapter 6 and chapter 7, maybe even go over to chapter 8 so you can get the full context and just reread it. And I'll be asking and praying for God to even bless you more as you get into the more into the text. And if you have questions, you can always text us at that same phone number we've given, 903-915-0865, or text us on the way up. There's places on the website and on the app that you can contact us. All right, y'all have a great afternoon in the Lord, and keep him lifted up, and keep each other lifted up in prayer. Yeah, stay in the word this week. Stay in prayer this week, and ask God for opportunities to make disciples of friends, families, neighbors, wherever there may be. Let's keep the church growing. In Jesus' name we pray. So we'll see you. We'll see you later. Have a great afternoon.